Christmas thought. If you have a Bible tonight, you might like to turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay. I'm going to be reading. But if you'd like to have your order of service open, there's some verses on the inner sheet that we'll be using as we move through this Christmas message tonight. The title of the message this evening is This All There Is? Let's ask God's help. Dear Father, we pray that as we come to your word, you might open it out to us. It might be meaningful to us in a way that it's never been before. We pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Christmas time. Hectic schedules, shopping and more shopping, tinsel and light, Christmas trees, presents, cards, mail, lots of mail, advertising, bargains. Have you ever wondered what's the point? For 10 years, Nolan and I have received a Christmas card from Jeff. No contact during the year, no comments on the Christmas card, but year after year, we get this Christmas card from Jeff, just doing his Christmas duty. Or the presents on Christmas Day, maybe 4 lots of aftershave, 3 of which you're allergic to, and the 4th, well, your wife doesn't like it. Now, that's never happened to me, but you know what I'm talking about, those presents we don't really need. And we ask, what's the point? Yeah, I know there are some special things about Christmas. We had a family gathering yesterday because of Christmas, and that was very special to us and friends. Just when it seems too busy during the year, it is so good to get together. But have you ever sat down after the friends have gone, maybe after the hangover has worn off, and after the aftershave is stacked away in the cupboard, and asked, is this all there is? Matthew writes, I'm only 37, but I've lately come to the realization that I may be having a midlife crisis. To even write it seems stupid, but I think it explains the best way I'm feeling. I don't want to bore you with the details, but ultimately I don't have any real purpose. The feelings of, is this all there is, start to sink in, and I started disliking even going to the job that I once loved. I'm depressed and frustrated. Who among us hasn't thought this, even if we haven't spoken it out aloud? Though we know we should count our blessings and be thankful, we still wonder, is this all there is? Surely there must be more to life than what I'm experiencing. It's not about things, after all. Did you hear about the 2 wealthy 30-year-olds who stole a 6-pack of beer and then sped away in their Jag? Yeah, they didn't need to be stealing that 6-pack, did they? Why? To add some thrills and adrenaline to their dull lives. Or what about the extreme sports? One bloke died recently here in the mountains. Why? Because life is boring. And extreme sports put some zing back into life. People try drugs, but at the end they ask, is this all there is? People travel around the world, and after it's all done, they ask, is this all there is? You name it, success, fame, money, life in the fast lane, the party life. If you stop just long enough, the nagging question comes, is this all there is? And the question seems to hang around at Christmas. Did you know that the suicide rate goes up at Christmas? Loneliness skyrockets. Is this all there is? Now, I'm not seeking to depress you at Christmas, actually just the opposite. But for those of you who are asking the question, is this all there is, I want to give an answer. And I want to give an answer full of hope. But we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. What Christmas is about, surely, is Christ. The name Christmas tells us that. Whether Christ was actually born at Christmas or not, Christmas is the time that we think about his birth. He probably wasn't born on December 25th, but we don't have any better date. My birthday is December 17, and we usually find some time in the busyness of the December season to celebrate it. But let me tell you, when I'm gone, no one's going to celebrate my birthday anymore. The only times that we remember birthdays after people have died is when those people have lived extraordinary lives. Because their life is worth remembering, their birth also is worth remembering. We remember Christ's birth because we remember his extraordinary life. Well, why was Christ born at all? Well, he was born because he was going to live an extraordinary life. Jesus himself had some things to say about why he was born. Matthew 20 and verse 28 says, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Two reasons in that verse Jesus said why he came. He came to serve. And secondly, he came to die to buy his people back to himself that were rightly his through his death on the cross. Part of his service to us was to preach the truth. Mark chapter 1 and verse 38 says, Jesus says, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose have I come forth." He came to preach the truth. And John 18 and verse 37, "For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of truth hears my voice." And also Jesus came to show us what God was like. John 5 and verse 43, "I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me." He came in his Father's name to show us what his Father was like. And Jesus came to fully obey the Father. John 6 and verse 38 says, "For I have come down from heaven," excuse me, "not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." But perhaps the most relevant statement, the most important reason for Jesus being born for us to consider tonight, is in John chapter 10 and verse 10 and the second part. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." For all of us, if we're ever real enough to ask the question, "Is this all there is?" Jesus says to us, "I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." No, this is not all there is. Jesus offers much more. Well, that's good to know. But how does this work? How does his birth, how does the life of Jesus Christ impact my life so that I can have, so that I can live more abundantly? Well, it'd be good to know that this Christmas, wouldn't it? Well, the context of John chapter 10 and verse 10 gives us the answer to that question. In the previous verse, John chapter 10 and verse 9, I see three answers to the question, how can we experience the abundant life that he came to give? The first way to be able to experience Christ's abundant life is to be saved. It's to be saved. It's possible to have religion and not know God. Jesus was talking to very religious people who did not know God. They were the false teachers of his day. Maybe we could say the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons of his day. John chapter 10 and verse 1 says, Jesus is speaking, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." There is one way to God. If any tries to get to God another way, they are thieves, they are cheats, like the cults of our day. The sheepfold in those days was made out of rocks, semicircular thing, or briars, thorns, and there was just one entrance into that sheepfold. And across that entrance, the shepherd went to sleep, guarding the sheep. Verse 2 of chapter 10 says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep," that's those who know Jesus as their own Savior from sin, "to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And verse 7, Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The sheep, that is the Christian who follows Christ the Good Shepherd, recognizes and refuses to follow false teachers, refuses to follow the cults. They only recognize the voice of the Good Shepherd. Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. You see, false teachers, the thieves, come to steal and kill and destroy. My grandfather used to say, if you want to make a million, just start a new religion. Yes, false religion steals income from those who follow it. And they destroy their lives by giving false hope to these people. Verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus Christ is different. It says in verse 10, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He doesn't take life for, like those in false religions. And there, right there in those verses, is the way to have abundant life. Let's go back to verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Or just reading the first part of the verse, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Jesus is the way of life. If you enter life by him, you'll be saved, the verse says. You'll be saved from the penalty of sin. In your heart, deep inside, you know that you need the Lord. It's a feeling of something missing, of being incomplete, of not really knowing your purpose in life without him. You know you need the Lord. The Bible says God has set eternity in our hearts. And we try and fill that vacuum with all kinds of activity and interests and pleasures and pastimes. But life has a way of nagging. Is this all there is? Admit it. You've lived your life apart from God and now you sense the loss. Admit it. You've made poor choices, choices that the Bible calls sin. Admit it. Call a spade like a good Aussie and say, sorry, Lord, I have sinned against you. And then go to him. Tell him you love him. Tell him that you know that he laid down his life for you. Thank him and praise him. Give your life and then follow the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. Don't remember him just as a little babe there in a manger in Bethlehem. Remember what he came to do. He came to give his life a ransom for many, to buy us back to himself. He came to give you life. All you need to do is receive it. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. The second way for us to be able to experience Christ's abundant life is relationship. Having met Christ at Christmas, you'll want to stay close to him in an ongoing relationship. Verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and he will go in and out. We're going to concentrate on that phrase, he will go in and out. To go in and out is to go into God's presence and then come out into the world. It is to fellowship with the living God. It is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And this relationship with the living God is available to every person who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. This, of course, will make all the difference to our lives. No longer will you ask, is this all there is? You'll have found purpose and you'll have found reason for living in him. You'll have found the most profound, fulfilling relationship possible. The vacuum in your heart will be filled and there will be a completion to your life. You will feel complete. You'll know Christ's love for you on a daily basis. And you'll experience his grace and power for all those difficult things in a broken world. This is a broken world in which we live. Hard things happen. But in that daily relationship with Him, you'll find grace and power to keep going. This is why He came, to give us abundant life, even in the midst of difficulties. No wonder those who really knew Him worshipped Him. The wise men said in Matthew 2 and verse 2, "We have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him." Wise men still worship Him. It is recorded of the shepherds in Luke chapter 2 and verse 20, "Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them." They knew that this baby in a manger was something special. The next verse continues, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, His name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before He was conceived in the womb." He was named Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. Yes, and then go on to give abundant life also. The third way for us to be able to experience Christ's abundant life is satisfaction. First, we must be saved, and then we can continue in a relationship with Him, and in that relationship with Him, we will find satisfaction. Verse 9 says, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture." To find pasture is to be filled. It is to be satisfied. It is to find contentment. It is to find that abundance that Jesus Christ spoke about in the next verse. Jesus also taught in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." That is to find pasture. "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." They will find pasture. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." They will find pasture. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." They will find pasture. And in the best loved of all the Psalms, Psalm 23, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." We can be saved and come in and out to know Him and find pasture. And the last verse of that psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now there's an abundance in that. Jesus said, "I come to give life. I came to give it more abundantly." Whatever the circumstances of life, there can be a satisfaction in Him. Richard tells how a man stopped at a travel agency and said that he wanted to go on a cruise. The travel agent asked the obvious question, "Where to?" he said. "I don't know," he replied. So the travel agent suggests he sit down at his desk and have a look at that globe of the world that was sitting on the travel agent's desk. The customer studied it for some time and finally said in disgust, "Is this all you have to offer?" "Just the world." "That's right. What the world offers does not satisfy in the end. It can never satisfy. We'll always think, is this all there is?" Even the delights of Christmas give no lasting satisfaction. Only the Christ of Christmas can satisfy. We don't celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christ. In his book, Miracle on the River Kwai, Ernest Gordon gives a true account of a World War II Japanese prison camp. The story is about a man by the name of Angus McGilvery. And the life of Angus transformed that hellhole of a prison camp into a place of caring and concern. McGilvery was a Scottish prisoner in a camp that had Aussies, Poms, Yanks, men who helped build that infamous bridge over the River Kwai. The attitude in this camp had apparently turned into an ugly, selfish, dog-eat-dog situation. Fellow prisoners cheated on each other. Men had their packs stolen from under their heads even as they slept. It was every man for himself. Survival was the name of the game. It had become a jungle. All this took place until the news of Angus McGilvray's death came to the ears of the prisoners in that prison camp. The Scottish soldiers were called Argyles and had a buddy system they took very seriously. Their buddy or mate was called their maka, and they were committed to each other to ensure each other's survival. Angus's maka became ill and wasn't expected to live. However, when someone stole his maka's blanket, Angus gave him his own blanket, saying that he had found an extra one. And when Angus was giving his rations, he took his rations to his maka, saying that he'd found extra rations. Angus did everything he could to keep the maka alive. In time, the maka fully recovered, and then to everyone's surprise, McGilvray collapsed and died. Died of starvation and exhaustion. The cause of McGilvray's death is what brought about the transformation of the prison camp. They all knew why he had died, because he had given everything to his maka. Because of Angus's example, the men began to be concerned for each other, and they became less self-centered, and they became more sharing. Soon the camp had an orchestra full of homemade instruments and a church called the Church Without Walls. That church was so powerful and compelling that even the Japanese guards attended. McGilvray's life teaches us that one man's life can make a difference. We remember Jesus' birth tonight because of the extraordinary difference that his life and his death made. He said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, "I have come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." May I ask you tonight, have you ever experienced his abundant life? May you receive him and have your life transformed tonight. Why not tonight? It can begin tonight. But you must hate your sin, turn from it, and turn to the Savior with all of your heart. The cultural Christmas is in the end empty. And we end up asking, is this all there is? No, Christmas is about Christ. And those who have Christ don't need Christmas because they have him every day of the year. Christ makes the difference to the day and each day after that. Take him, won't you, as your own Savior from sin. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I pray for this crowd here tonight. And I pray for the ones and twos, the threes and fours, perhaps many that are here tonight who don't know the Savior. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we've sung about him, as we've worshipped him, as we've talked about him, as we've read scriptures about him, I pray that there would be some here tonight that would flee to the Savior, turn from their sin and flee to the Savior, that they might have that abundant life that he promised. We pray it in Jesus' name, amen. Well, this evening we're going to end with hymn 100, O Come All You Faithful. Because we are his, and because we experience his life, we are going to worship.